Hey everyone, I'm Alexa Reeves, and I will be your witch and host for today's episode of Boxed Wine and Witchcraft. Today, we are going to enjoy the subtle flavors of a buttery Chardonnay while we talk about quiet, subtle, or secret magic for all of us out there that are still in the proverbial broom closet. Today, we're going to talk about subtle magic, how to work it into your everyday life, and some low-key alternatives if you are someone who can't quite be as open with your practice as you would like to be. I'd like to remind everyone that your spirituality and religion is as unique as your fingerprint. What we say here is by no means the definitive rule on any topic, merely a jumping-off point for you to begin your exploration into the amazing and complex world around you. So, with air that inspires us, the earth that grounds us, fire that enlightens us, and water that moves us, let's talk about the closeted witch and how to do some subtle magic. So for many of us, whether it's because of our home environments, where we work, the people that we're around, or just because we're private and it's no one's business but our own, we have to adapt our magic workings and spirituality to blend into the more mundane world around us. So this is going to be for people who don't really want to advertise that they are pagan, Wicca, witches, warlock, shamans, practitioners. This is going to be directed at those of us that are a little bit on the down low side. In an ideal world, everyone would be allowed to be open with whatever spiritual practice they worked with. You could wear whatever attire that represents your religion. You could have altars set up wherever you felt the need to. You could do rituals in the middle of public. You could be completely transparent with your spirituality without fear of judgment or repercussions or even fear of danger. Alas, we do not live in that world yet. We're getting there slowly, but until then, there are ways that you as a pagan, a witch, shaman, spiritual practitioner can still represent your life and can still have representations of your life while still flying subtly enough under the radar that coworkers, friends, or even family members will remain none the wiser. So since we all know that intent is one of the most important aspects of magical working, you can get away with a lot of small, subtle things while still knowing in your heart that your practice is sound. Some of these ideas I'm going to talk about are actually ones I used myself before I was brave enough to step out of the broom closet personally. Let's talk about altar spaces. A lot of religions, a lot of spiritualities will have altar spaces set up. These don't have to be permanent fixtures in your space. A lot of times we share space with roommates, we share it with, you know, extended family members that aren't quite comfortable talking about religion. Altars don't have to be permanent. They can be something that you set up and tear down as needed. It also doesn't have to be a flat surface like a desk or a table. You can use a bookshelf that's already standing and loaded with your books. You can use those hanging shelves on your wall. Your altar also doesn't have to be just one space. It can be multiple little stops or spots around your entire house or your apartment. And each little individual spot you can designate as an altar or personal space for whatever magic you're working with at the time. Plants are an amazing way to get away with disguising your altar. You can have plants that represent specific deities, specific elements, even people. I knew a witch once that actually their entire plant setup shelf by their house, that's like, oh, this is the window that gets the most light. When you started to look amongst the plants, you could see all the little magic things hiding in there. But for the mundane person, as you walked by, you would just see someone that has a lot of plants. Things like gemstones or geodes, fossils, cute little paperweights or knick-knack looking items that can sit on a bookshelf or a coffee table or even your desk at work. These can all be designated and represent your elements, your gods, your focal points. things like printed or framed art, or of, you know, scenery, of people, of gods. You can have these pieces hanging on your wall in your home. Bring them down if you're going to work specifically with that, you know, idea or that image, and then hang it back up on the wall when you're done. Altar tools are also something that are tricky to kind of, you know, find that happy ground with what you leave on your altar or what you use in a regular life that doesn't look super conspicuous. Altar tools that do dual purpose are my absolute favorite. If you need a bowl or a cauldron, go use what's in your kitchen cabinet first. Buy a specific serving dish, you know, a piece of pottery that doesn't come out at family dinners. It only comes out when you decide you're going to use it. It can still live in the cabinet with the rest of the Thanksgiving fine china, but only be used for your specific magic purposes. If you need a cup or a chalice, it can be your favorite piece of pottery. It can be a mug. It can be a special wine glass that sits inconspicuously in your cabinet next to the I Hate Mondays coffee mug. If you need a wand, if you need an athame, something to channel that energy, have you considered letter openers? I myself personally used a letter opener for the first several years of my closeted practice because it was in the shape of an athame, but it also just blended in perfectly with the rest of my little bookshelf knickknacks that nobody really knew that's what I was using it for. I have also used, when I felt the genius strike me, I have used wooden-handled serving utensils as wands before. Get clever, get creative with your altar tools, because these don't necessarily have to be the tried and true representations of that element or that piece, for example. When I first started my magical practice, I worked with the elements mostly. My bowl for water was one I grabbed out of the kitchen cabinet that I didn't think my mother would miss. My fire, because I wasn't allowed to light candles or incense in the house due to some family allergies. I used electric candles, and instead of incense, I used feathers. For salt and earth, I literally went down to the kitchen table and grabbed the salt shaker. You can get clever and creative with your altar alternatives. Candles are another great way to kind of subtly sneak magic around your house. Most family homes have candles. Everybody at least has that one candle that we light when the trash gets really stinky and we want to pretend we can't smell it. But candles from Bath and Body Works or Yankee Candles are completely valid and useful sources of candles for candle magic. The other great thing about the mundane basic candles, you can ask for those for birthdays or holidays, and your relatives will be none the wiser as to why specifically you wanted the pretty blue, you know, fresh linen smelling Yankee candle. Absolutely, the smell is delightful, but it also represents May and May Day, and it, you know, fits really well on your altar space. Let's talk about jewelry, talismans, amulets, things that you wear on you, things that you decorate your space with. Now, if you are someone who isn't comfortable wearing the more traditional symbols of pagan faith, things like the pentacle, the triple goddess symbol, Eye of Horus, and Ankh, you can still incorporate symbolism that resonates with you and your spirituality. Consider using things like spirals, circles, triangles. These are all shapes that are still inherently filled with magic qualities, and they're easily found in jewelry. Wearable gemstones are the newest thing. They are everywhere. You can find stones that specifically mean anything you need them to mean. You can find them and layer them with whatever outfit you're wearing them. And if someone comments, you can easily just say it was a colorful accent to your wardrobe. No, my blue lace agate bracelet has nothing to do with the fact that I'm trying to maintain peace of mind. It just looked real pretty with my shirt today. You can work magic into your day-to-day life. You can sneak it into almost every aspect. Some of my favorite ways to sneak magic in. Are you showering in the morning before work? Like I hope you do every day because you don't want to smell. Pick a specific soap, a shampoo, a scent even. Bless that. Give it a charm. You know, energize it to make it, you know, imbued with the power of I'm going to focus, I want to have energy, and then lather up like normal. If you're making breakfast, if you're getting a cup of coffee, take your spoon and take a moment of intent and quietness and decide that you're going to stir clockwise to bring something to you, like luck for that big meeting today, or stir counterclockwise to repel aspects away from yourself for the day, like getting last minute projects or getting short deadlines. Drawing sigils or symbols on the bottoms of your shoes and Sharpies is one of my favorite things to do. You can literally walk around in your magic all day and no one has to know. Bless and charge little desk knickknack items to act as force fields around yourself to keep out negative energy from coworkers. Tupperware containers and mason jars are great houses for spells and charm pieces that have to sit together for a certain amount of time. A lot of us don't have the luxury of being able to have beautiful ornate altarpieces to do our workings in. There is nothing wrong with Glad Tupperware. It is a container and it is dishwasher safe. If you can't leave things to sit out in your house or in your space to soak up either the moon's energy or the sun's energy, go ahead and pick a specific drawer, pick a closet corner, something that you can leave either colors that represent that energy, or you can leave little pieces of that energy there, and leave your charm or your spell there to soak up that energy and to charge. The other thing I love doing, and I've done several times, is since I couldn't leave things out to charge with full moon energy, I'd leave them on my dashboard in my car overnight during a full moon. It's still there. It's perfectly protected. It's soaking up all of the moon's energy, but it's not in anyone's way and nobody really knows why it's there. You can do this for the daytime and for the nighttime as well. These are just great, easy, subtle, casual ways to bring magic into your life, because magic is what you make it. Don't limit yourself by rules of polite society that say what we can and can't do. You can infuse almost every aspect of your life with magical qualities so that you are the only little heathen out there that knows what you're up to. Guys, I hope these ideas were fun and enlightening to you all in some way. Please feel free to reach out to us at Goddess Elite and tell us what other subtle secret magics you get up to, ways that you've kind of flown under the radar as pagans. I would love to hear more. And until next time, cheers and blessed be, my little weird friends. Thank you.